Oh. Can you show us this moonwalk?
Oh, yeah. Do you all even know what a moonwalk is?
Yeah!
Okay. Now, listen, the truth is, we're going to get really serious after this, okay? So just, all right, I have to tell you, though, I'm going to try the moonwalk in Doc Martens. That's not an advertisement for Doc Martens, but it's really hard. What was that? Okay. It's really hard to do a moonwalk in Doc Martens. I just want to kind of give myself a little. All right, can I get some support?
Yeah!
See that? You see that? All right. That was years of practicing. I mean, I'm talking years. What? Juggle fire. They're not prepared. You're not prepared. You're not prepared for me. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though I didn't bring my juggling clubs, I didn't bring the fire, someone is here who did. He's called the Holy Spirit. So... Do you want the fire of the Holy Spirit? Because he's coming. He's coming. It's so much better than juggling. Listen, it's so, so, so good to be here with you. I've been praying for you, actually, for like months. You didn't even know me. And I've been praying for you for months. And every time I prayed for you, you know who showed up? Well, the Holy Spirit. Yes, thank you. But someone else too, St. Joseph. And I didn't ask him. I wasn't asking St. Joseph to pray. I wasn't. Every time I'd pray for you, it was like he just walked in the room. And I was like, that's interesting. And then I was like, light bulb. St. Joseph is the patron of Canada. And he is not just interested in you. He's super invested. He's going to keep praying for you. He didn't even have to cross the border to get here. I did. And I drove up here from New York with one of my sisters who is a Canadian. I mean, dyed-in-the-wool Canadian. She lives here in Toronto with our sisters. And the whole way up, she was talking about another patron of Canada, Tim Hortons. And I'm telling you, it was roll up the rim to win the whole way up. And she was telling me, it's like almost impossible not to win with roll up the rim to win. She even like waved this like tooth-torn edge of a hot cup, a to-go cup, at me with like her next free coffee to prove it, right? So anyway, we crossed the border and made the essential stop. I really wanted to win. I really wanted to win. I downed my drink and I went for it. Please play again. A polite rejection. Nothing for you today. You know who never tells me that? The Holy Spirit. So we're going to stop right now. And we're going to roll up the rim on the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here. Guardian angels, help each one of us to hear what God wants us to hear today, what the Father wants us to hear today. Guardian angels, I ask you, guardian angels, of each person here, would you join us in asking the Lord to open the heavenly realms in the Spirit for each of us? Yes, with you, we ask our mighty God to pour out his Holy Spirit on us right now. Come, Holy Spirit, welcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. All right, this afternoon we're talking about love in action. Now listen, all love in action begins with Jesus' love in action. He's not only our model, our pattern, our way, our good shepherd. He's our gate both to the Father and to loving others as he loves. It's his mercy, his courage, his patience that fills our weakness and makes our love supernaturally effective. Christian love is an overflow of God's presence with us, working through our frail humanity. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he tells us that it is God who is at work within you. So before we get into any nitty-gritty about loving our neighbor, let's first look at who is this God working within us? loving us and loving through us. So a few verses ahead of that verse from the Philippians, Paul writes that because Jesus humbled himself by becoming a man, obedient unto death, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The first time this passage truly came alive for me was also the first time I was asked to be an intercessor in an exorcism. Yes, an exorcism. The devil is real. As much as Almighty God is for us, someone is against us. Dabbling with the occult, with evil, with sin is like selling yourself into slavery. Now, ordinarily, confession's enough. It sets us free, heals us, strengthens us against temptation. The Lord of love, who has given himself, died to save us, can set us free. Sometimes, though, people get stuck in a darkness, or darkness gets stuck in them. And it requires special prayers from priests in the name of Jesus to snatch souls from the grasp of Satan. And it works. A woman I was serving was in one of these situations, and I brought her to a priest exorcist. Now, I expected to wait for her outside, but the priest asked me to be in the room. I did not expect that. And of course, I responded immediately, cool, calm, collected, happy to, Father. Honestly, it happened so fast. And I was about 3 feet from the door when I realized what I was about to go into. And inner hesitations began flooding me. I knew Jesus was with me, but I was scared. I walked into that room scared. And I was a sister. I had already given my whole life to Jesus. And I was scared. Now, in some ways, that was the proper response. It was very intense. Exorcisms work. I knew I would experience the manifestation of evil. I hadn't fully appreciated that I would experience the manifestation of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, evil was present, and it was ugly. What I was not prepared for was how undeniable it was in that room. The authority, the beauty, the light of the presence of Jesus Christ. In that room, during that exorcism, I experienced what St. Paul told us. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those three realms aligned in that room, heaven, earth, and under the earth. And I'm telling you, there was only one Lord. There is only one Lord. His name is Jesus. Yeah, give him a hand. Jesus, come right out. Now, when I walked in that room, I was already in love with Jesus. I had already recognized that I could only truly live belonging completely to him. That day, something happened I didn't think possible. I fell more in love with Jesus. I walked into that room scared, but in that room, I experienced how alive Jesus is, really is. And I saw the authority of his love at work, freeing this woman from darkness. I can tell you only one thought went through my mind as I sat there. I never wanted to leave the light of that room, the light of his saving love. I never wanted to leave that place. I was scared before I walked in that room. And I was scared of the wrong thing. That experience reminded me of what we need to remind ourselves and each other every day. Who I am and whose I am. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us, Jesus tells us of Jesus, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. He's given us power to become children of God, the same God who created every blade of grass and every star that hangs from the sky, every grain of sand on the seashore. The same God who exists outside of time and to whom everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth bends its knee. This is the God who's given you power to become his children. That's what he gave us in our baptism. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. You know, exorcists keep telling me that it's easy to be protected from evil. That's what the sacraments give us. Mass every Sunday, regular confession, pray the rosary. These are the secrets to inner peace. You know, sometimes people act like these are rules that don't matter, when actually they're the Father protecting his children. We also don't need to be praying during an exorcism to experience the abundant, life-changing love of Jesus. The same Jesus is in the Eucharist, in Scripture. The same Jesus, the same power of love. That same light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I belong to him. You belong to him. That's what your baptism gives you. He's given you power to become children of God. Your soul was changed when you were baptized from a beautiful but wounded and destined to die human soul to a beautiful, wounded human soul in which the Blessed Trinity, God, your maker and redeemer, protector and defender, descended to dwell so that you could live forever. Yeah, we're all still wounded. You ever feel like something's really wrong with you? I know you do. It is. It's called original sin. And it's so deep and so painful that God had to become flesh and suffer and die and rise again for that wound to be transformed. Jesus, grace isn't magic. Magic is about control and illusion. Grace is about true relationship. It's about trust. It's about long-term belonging. And that's what Jesus has already won for you. He wants to begin a friendship, a living friendship with you that never ends. And he waits for your agreement, your welcome. Friendship can't be forced. He waits for us to choose him back. And when we do, the greatest adventure begins. When we surrender our lives to the one Lord of heaven and earth, everything inside us comes into order. When we surrender ourselves to him, when we kneel before him, he's able to fill us with his Holy Spirit, with his love and his power. When we know who we are and whose we are, even when our feet get dusty from the things of this earth, hurt, temptations, addictions, betrayals, the same Jesus, the same Lord of heaven and earth, the same Jesus bends before us. He bends down before us and tenderly washes the dust off our feet. And then my brothers and sisters, looking in our eyes with a love that we're all made for and we all ache for, he says to us what he said to the first apostles. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Your life has an actual divine purpose. A vocation. And that purpose is love. And your love is more powerful than you can ever imagine when you remember who you are and whose you are. A young woman counselor at a Catholic camp told me about a ninth grade camper who had been self-harming, cutting herself for years. The counselor saw her arms. They were a complete battleground. And her own heart, the heart of the counselor, was suddenly filled with such compassion for this girl, such a desire for her healing. Now, this counselor is what I call a tradismatic. So it's a mix of a traditionalist and a charismatic. So she wears the prayer mantilla, and her hands are up in the air praising the Lord. So she asked the girl if she could pray over her for healing, and the girl said yes. And the counselor felt inspired to take her prayer veil, her mantilla, and put it over the girl's arms and ask Jesus to heal her. And that girl experienced a flood of the love of Jesus for her. And the tears flowed. That night, as the girl walked back to her cabin, she noticed that her arms were completely clear. What the counselor hadn't realized was that this girl's whole body was scarred from cutting. But when she changed into her pajamas, she saw that every scar on her body was gone. Now, Jesus keeps his scars, and he often lets us keep ours. But he wanted to heal this girl, not just in her heart and in her emotions. He wanted to heal her physically, that she not have to be reminded every time she looked at her body of the shame and the pain that she had endured. How tender is Jesus towards our wounds, towards our shame. St. Augustine said to Jesus, "In my deepest wounds, I saw your glory and it dazzled me." In my deepest wounds, I saw your glory and it dazzled me. Only Jesus can take the places of greatest shame in our lives and transform them into places that dazzle us. Dazzle me, Jesus. He wants to do this for you. And when you humbly serve others, the same power of love is released. Each of you is meant to leave today with a grace, a gift from Jesus that you didn't have when you walked in here. Each one of you. There is a word that Jesus wants to speak to your heart. A gift he wants to give you. A shifting. I could sense it the minute I walked into this room. That there are hearts in this room right now that are shifting. Something's changing. Our God wants to pour out his love on you. And the purpose that you've been longing for, he's going to give it. He has given it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. Remember the story of David and Goliath? David was the greatest king of Israel, right? With no armor, with a slingshot and 5 smooth stones, he took down the giant Goliath, who seemed unbeatable. The giant Goliath who had the audacity to mock God and to taunt his people. My brothers and sisters, Almighty God has chosen you. And he's chosen you to live at this time in history. And there are many Goliaths mocking God and taunting his people. And even today, even right now, Almighty God is choosing some of you, anointing some of you with his power to bring down these giants. Even right now, the Lord of heaven is opening his heart. He's ready to pour out his spirit on you. So let yourself feel the thirst that you have for that. Something is shifting. When King David was anointed, he was about your age. And the Spirit rushed upon him. Scripture says it. The Spirit of God rushed upon him. You know what's interesting? It didn't seem that other people noticed. David was sent back to tend his father's sheep. That was exactly what he was doing before the Spirit rushed upon him. But God knows what he's about. In those sheep fields, David was learning how to protect the sheep with courage, how to fight and defeat lions and bears. David was still tending the sheep when Goliath was taunting and mocking God's people. David wasn't even a soldier. His brothers were. He wasn't. People didn't yet see his strength. They didn't see the way that God had chosen him. He wasn't even on the battlefield. You know why he went? He was carrying cheese. Look it up. I'm not kidding. He was carrying cheese. They didn't take him seriously. But he knew who he was and whose he was. And when he heard Goliath mocking God and taunting his people, his spirit rose up in him. And he fought Goliath and flattened him, because the battle is the Lord's. Each of you have battles in your life, and you know what those are. Right now, God is preparing you. Today, there's a purpose for your life, a divine purpose, and it's beautiful, and it's love. So don't waste a moment more. Today's the day. We're going to let go of our distractions. We're going to renounce our idols, those things that keep us from our purpose, our destiny. We're going to bend the knee at the name of Jesus, and we're going to let his spirit rush upon us. We're going to let his spirit rest on us. We're going to let his spirit heal us. So why don't you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit. You can repeat after me if you want. Come, Holy Spirit. Come like living water. Come to the dry, wounded places in my heart. I thirst for you. I need you. I want you. Come, Holy Spirit. I give you permission. Come rest on us, Lord.